Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers wishing all of you a happy Valentine's Day. And I hope your Valentine was good to you today as mine was to me. And I would like to thank my special Valentine, Richard Presser.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Valentine to Richard. And I would like to mention that if you get our emails, you know that Edgar Casey is our guest tonight. And if you're not getting our emails, Richard, tell the people how they can get them.
Yes, if you just go to our website, the2012countdown.com, and register on that site, you will receive a confirmation email. Click on the link and it's all taken care of. And I will take a moment to mention that I'm aware that a number of people have been removed from our list, not by your choice, but through some kind of technical issue that's causing it of some sort. And if you're listening to this, but you didn't receive the email and you understood you were on our list, then please do repeat that process of going to the2012countdown.com and enter your details, and that will reactivate your registration with us.
Technology is wonderful when it works, isn't it?
Yes, it's especially good when it works.
And when it doesn't work, we all have a problem.
It's a problem.
Indeed. So, Richard, our guest tonight is Edgar Casey. Is he there with you?
I think he's hanging around somewhere. Yes, I was connecting with him a while ago. I suspect he's probably still about. Let me just see. And so, to describe his energy, it's not what I'm experiencing tonight with him is not what I would call a tremendously loving kind of central energy. I experience his energy a little left of center. And what I sense is this inquisitive, inquiring kind of individual, wanting to get answers to things, wanting to understand, would be my kind of summary of him. A very genuine, honest kind of sense to him, but rather more this, as I say, inquiring, wanting to understand kind of sense about him. Interesting, interesting energy.
That is interesting. And so I assume that Mr. Casey has a message for our listeners tonight and for us.
Let's see what he has to say. It is a pleasure to come forth and join with you once more in this way. As you perhaps know, I have come forth with these two in the past, and it is an honor for me to be asked to join with you again. And I connected with Carolyn a couple of weeks ago and made her aware that I wanted to, you might say, update the perception that I have of the current time, and also refresh for you some of the things that I was bringing forth in my time that are relevant to your time. As you may know, if you know a little of my story, I used to enter a trance state simply by lying down on my couch, and my assistant would give me the name of an individual who had a question to ask. And I would enter into this trance state as I lay down, and I cannot say how this began, really. It is a little sketchy, but it was, you might say, something that emerged from one day when I was sleeping and my assistant asked me or mentioned something that triggered a response from me in my seemingly sleeping state. And this is where this all began, and it just began to unfold. And it really didn't matter where that individual was in the world, but indeed I found that I could connect with them and share information, you might consider, that was relevant to their health or their inquiry. And it may have been about a health issue, or it may have been about a past life sense that they had that they wanted information about, many, many things. And this led to my investigating many things in this state, including some experiences that were not related to inquiries from others. And as you may know, if you have read some of the material either that I brought forth or from the books that have been written about me, I was aware of the existence of Atlantis in the past, and indeed a rather broader advanced civilization within the world, not just the originally continent, but then islands of Atlantis, but rather this broader civilization which existed in the world on Earth prior to some 13,000 or so years ago. And so I shared that information. I shared information about the nature of the soul. Indeed, the fact that the soul came forth from a more complete expression of the soul, you might say. You, in your work, refer to it as the monad, and that is a good term for it. So I shared this information. I brought forth information about souls that journeyed together. The notion of soulmates and so on came forth in my work, and some of these terms have entered into the day-to-day lexicon of your world today. And I'm not making any particular claims about myself. I understand that I came forth at that time to, in part, put in place some information, some understandings to contribute to the framework within which the time in which you find yourselves was unfolding. And so the understandings, or at least some of them that came from my work, have served in many ways the emergence of this sense of much more than just the physical or temporal expression in the West. So much of this has come from the work that I did, and of course those who came forth into this area of the world from what you might consider the more eastern countries. For example, Yogananda, who came to America in the 30s and of whom I was aware in my lifetime, he made also a great contribution to this, you might consider, platform upon which this spiritual understanding is unfolding in this time. And there really have been many threads that have contributed to the time in which you find yourselves. Part of it is simply a matter of timing, where you are currently in that situation where you are in alignment with galactic center, that event that occurs twice within the precessional cycle. But also there have been many threads of, you might consider, preparation that were undertaken. For example, few understand that the mission of the one that is known as Jesus today, but you refer to as Yeshua, and I would call Yeshua today, his mission, along with that of Mary Magdalene, was primarily about preparing for this time, which of course is not at all the impression that exists in the world. So many consider that individual to be their path to salvation, which on one level is true, but really not in the way that it has been packaged by the Christian church, which has very little to do, as you would know, with the teachings of those two. So their mission made a contribution, and there have been many groups that have come forth over time that have kept these understandings alive within the consciousness of humanity. And as you know, part of the mission of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene was the impact on the human DNA that flowed from their children. There were the grandparents of the children that you might consider began this process, or in some manners even before this. But there was a very powerful combination of DNA that came forth through myself and, from Yeshua and Mary Magdalene to create this platform that has flowed through humanity from that time. So it is important to understand these many threads that have contributed to the time you are in. You are aware from the work that you did with the Templars of the work that they did in building the Gothic cathedrals to provide an ascension path and many other things through their work, acknowledging the energy lines that existed within the planet. And as you understand it and as you expressed in those recordings that you brought forth, that in fact those Gothic cathedrals are actually assisting in this time. They were built in part to enhance the breathing of the planet, you might say, the energetic inflows and outflows of the planet that occurred on those key sites. So there have been so many pieces, and so I don't claim anything particularly special about my contribution. And in ways, I did not fully understand its nature when I was alive. It is something that really only came into being, you might say, in my understanding after I left your dimension. But I am honored to have been able to make that contribution and to have some of the terminology and some of the understandings that you might say were refreshed in Western understanding through my work, through my lifetime. And so I am proud of that contribution. And I do not wish to belabor that contribution especially, because my interest is primarily to reinforce once more, along with so many others that have come forth on these radio shows, the special time that you are in. And I shared those stories with you because it is important to understand that there is, you might consider, so many threads that have led to this time, not just this alignment with Galactic Center, but so many other things that are, you might say, in place in this special moment. And the changes which are planned are not limited to your beautiful blue-green planet that I so loved whilst I was there, but rather impact all expressions of creation. And I know others have mentioned this, but it begins here. It begins in this very dense consciousness in which you find yourselves. And in many ways, you could say it is already beginning. You could argue that it perhaps started 25 or so years ago when the energies began to, you might say, lighten, to rise to a higher vibration. This process really began over 25 years ago now and has accelerated through time up until this moment. So you might consider there has been a significant shift already in the energies of the planet and the energies of humanity, though you would certainly not conclude that from the warlike posturing and so on that is occurring in your world. I have to say it saddens me to witness all of this, and yet I know that prophecy has said that the dark will be on the point of believing they are about to claim their victory, only to have their victory snatched from them. And so I understand this dark period that you find yourselves in, when it really does look like everything is, dare I say it, going to go to hell in a handbasket. But it really is like that in so many, many ways, where those who control the game from behind the scenes do in fact have that control and are using it and are creating the wars and the notion of terrorism throughout the world and so on to pursue their own agendas. So it is a difficult time, and yet there is this light at the end of the tunnel, you might consider, that is beginning to emerge. And it will emerge, and it is emerging in the time as I speak to you. It will emerge in the awareness of the world in the very near term. And I use these words because, again, so many of you have in ways been told this and yet see no evidence in your experience, and so you doubt it. And I do not for one moment blame you in any manner for this. I know the two that I am working with tonight are just as skeptical as everybody else as they await the evidence in their experience of these changes. But in part, I wanted to come forth to remind them and you of the number of beings, the number of incarnations of important, precious, special beings on high that have come forth to prepare for this time. Indeed, this time was planned before the fall in Atlantis, before this dense consciousness in which you find yourselves emerged on planet Earth. Its ending was planned before it was triggered. Yes, there was some uncertainty as to whether humanity would survive that fall, but survive we did, and you have. And you are now in that precious moment when these changes will come forth. And so I thank you for this opportunity to join with you and to remind you all of the number of souls that have come forth to prepare for this precious, precious time in which you find yourselves. And so it is.
Thank you both. I really do appreciate bringing that information forth. We're going to turn our attention to Cynthia from Long Beach, who is on line one and has a question for Mr. Casey. Cynthia.
Mr. Casey, can you hear me?
Question? Yes, we hear you. What's your question, dear?
I need to know who I was when Jesus walked the earth in the Holy Land. I had a regressive astrological reading with the Edgar Casey Foundation based on my birth date of January 20th, 1951. I was born 29 minutes after midnight. They said I was either a diviner or a seer or a priest or a priestess in the Holy Land when Jesus walked the earth. Also, a friend of mine is an intuitive, Dr. Webb, and she told me she caught a glimpse of me as being very close to Mary Magdalene, but she couldn't name me. So I need to know, who was I? Because I'm sure my life at that time ties in with this life. And I just, for the life of me, don't remember who I was. If I could just, who was I? I need to know what role I played when they were alive on the earth. It will help me.
Well, did you hear that question, Richard?
Yes. My dear Cynthia, whilst I understand your drive to know who you were in that lifetime, it does not carry the significance that you think it does. You see, your understanding of who and what you are in this lifetime time is Hello? Much more about who and what you are as a soul. And you as a soul in this lifetime are an aspect of an incarnated cherubim angel. You are an aspect of a cherubim. The cherubim exists within the center of the cosmos, like all cherubim monads do. And you have come forth at key times to participate in the unfolding of this precious journey to which I referred. I too am an aspect of a cherubim, and I came forth in the time I did in preparation for this time. So I encourage you, rather than focus on who you might have been in that lifetime, recognize that you were an Essene for certain, because most of the Essenes were cherubim. And to simply focus on connecting with yourself within. You see, your understanding of who you were in the past, whilst it can inform to an extent your understanding, the real understanding you need to grow is the sense of yourself as this beautiful, precious being that is here in this time to assist humanity. Now, I will say that you were close to Yeshua and Mary Magdalene. That is for certain, as indeed were many of the Essenes. They were very much supportive of the work that Yeshua and Mary Magdalene undertook. But my dear one, you need to let go of this sense that you will understand yourself better in this lifetime based upon who you were in that lifetime. Rather, focus on who you are as a cherubim incarnated in this lifetime and set yourself free as a result of this. Healing yourself in Edgar? This lifetime.
Edgar, cherubims have names, don't they?
Do you want to pick this up, Carolyn? I can't handle this at the moment. Do you have a name for her from that lifetime or not? Cynthia, is Richard. I will simply say to you that yes, and those names don't readily come forth in this dimension. And it seems like you have a drive that you are not listening to the words that Edgar gave you. You still
focus
have
on
this...
what I'm doing now.
Yes. Focus on healing yourself in this lifetime.
I understand. Okay, I will go with that. I will let go of what you want me to let go of. But I have a real problem. I'm in love with Tim Weisberg. I've never been so in love with another human being on this planet as I am with him. He plays the most beautiful music I've ever heard in my life. He's touched my very soul. And I want to be with him. But I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do. I can't help myself. I just love this man. And it's very painful for me not to be with him.
Let me ask you a question. This is Richard, Cynthia, because I don't understand the situation exactly. Is this man, does he know you? Are you associated with him in any manner?
I've been listening to his music. I attend his shows. He performs live. He's 71, and I've been listening to him since about 1970. And all these years, I thought I was just in love with his music. And then it hit me in 2013 that Tim is his music. And all these years, I've been in love with this man. And I didn't realize how much until a couple of years ago. And I'm just filled with his spirit, his music. I want to be with him more than anything in the world.
Have you told him?
I think he knows how I think he knows how I feel about him. He knows I love him.
Have you told him?
Have I come out and said to his face, I love you? I have in writing. I have in letters.
And you've sent those letters to him?
Yes. And I spoke with him last November, and I said, I forgive you for my transgressions. I lost my head. And his response was, we're fine. And I said, you don't hate me? And he says, no, we're fine. He was acknowledging my feelings for him. I think he was accepting me for who I was right then and there. And that gave me a strong sense of contentment. But at least he acknowledged that I'm not some crazed fan, that there's this woman who has deep, deep feelings for him. Real feelings, genuine feelings. He's so beautiful, inside and out.
One of the most powerful things to learn about love, Cynthia, is to let people be free to walk their own journey. And it sounds like whilst he acknowledges you, he's not choosing to be with you. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah.
I think you think you need to allow that, and you need to allow your feelings, but it's important not to become possessive. And you see, what's happening here is that you are, in a sense, getting in touch with the love that's within yourself through your connection with him. And what you need to do is begin to open up your own sense of the love that is within you. You need to learn to love yourself. And you see, love for so many people is a possessive thing. But true love is a freeing thing, not a possessive thing. And you need to learn to truly love yourself and love this man also, but set him free.
Well, that's what Catherine May told me. She said, give your love gently and freely, and, you know, you can't force somebody to love you back. And I understand that. I've just never felt such a strong feeling of love for another human being as I do him, outside of my parents and my brothers.
Okay. So, Cynthia, we need to move on. Thank you for your questions. We need to allow other people to come forth. So thank you for your questions.
Well, thank you for letting me ask the question. Thank you.
We would like to move now to line two. James has a question. James, what can we do to help you? James? Line two, can you hear me, James?
James has a silent question.
We can answer those real quickly.
I think we should move on, Carolyn, and maybe James will be back.
Maybe. Okay, since James... Okay, we have Lou on line three. Lou, what can we do to help you?
Hi, Richard. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
Hi, Lou.
I wanted to ask Mr. Casey, how does he see the unfolding of the DNA and how our experiences? Because I experienced changes in my sleep. Like, literally, I feel like my cells in my body are, like, tingling, like there's changes happening. And I'm wondering if that is, you know, part of these DNA changes.
There are many steps you might consider in the process of preparation for these changes. And part of it is a change in the cells. Part of the changes in cells arises as a result of the healing process. I don't mean physical healing so much as spiritual and emotional healing, which I know you have been going through in recent times. And this in and of itself affects the cells of your body. The changes in the DNA that have been spoken of, which involve activating many, many strands of DNA that are not currently active in their total sense, this will really occur as part of the actual rejuvenation process, not something that will occur before it. In fact, the rejuvenation process will proceed to some degree before those, you might consider, DNA strands are activated. So there is no real DNA change which is happening at this point, but rather you are experiencing, you might consider a reactivation or a increased activation of cellular activity in your body that is certainly associated in part with healing, but also the time in which you find yourself.
Thank you very much. That helps a great deal.
I'm glad. We don't have someone on the line right now to ask a question, but I would like to ask a question of Mr. Casey. You made, shall I say, many prophecies during your lifetime. Can you discuss one of those prophecies that did not come into this reality and give us some idea as to why it did not?
One example is that I expected Atlantis to resurface. That was a message that I was getting. And I today do not expect the landmass of Atlantis to resurface, but how I now interpret that occurrence is that the, you might consider, consciousness that was expressed in Atlantis will resurface through the processes that you understand. And so, in a sense, you could say that that prophecy was not accurate as I expressed it. But in fact, in another sense, it is coming forth in the events that I have been discussing with you. And I view that as being, you might consider, a reflection of the level of knowledge and understanding that I was bringing my messages forth from. It is important to understand that even though one is in a trance state, there still needs to be some framework within the individual's understanding upon which the prophecies come forth. They are not coming forth separate from the understandings that are in place in an individual. And so I view that, you might consider it an inaccuracy, as primarily due to my understandings of the time.
Thank you. And while we're talking about prophecy, can you give us a little information about your understanding of prophecy when it comes to bear in our experience and when it just drops off at the wayside?
Prophecy, you might consider, is perhaps best expressed as an insight or a guidance that is given to someone about what may happen in the future. And there are, for example, prophecies which are held in the Bible. And you may be aware that, for example, Yeshua was aware of the prophecies that applied in his time, and in some cases he undertook specific actions to ensure that those prophecies were fulfilled, because he understood the power of connecting the prophecy with the events in his time. So prophecy, in a way, has a certain power. And this has been better understood, perhaps, by those in the past. For example, there have been times in the past where royal figures would turn to those who had prophetic skills. For example, Nostradamus, and also the one who resided on that mountain in Greece, the Delphi prophecy, prophet. And so these individuals would give guidance, and royalty would seek them out because they were considered to be able to foretell events that were relevant to those individuals. It was a way they saw of trying to best prepare for their futures. So there have been times when such prophecies have been given a lot more reality than perhaps they are given today by those in power. I would have to say that those in power in your world today operate with a much darker agenda than in general those in power did, say, 1,000 or 2,000 years ago, though clearly there were groups who were very dark, but not all were. So prophecy has a power, you might consider, and it doesn't mean that everything that is prophesied will come to pass. It is, in a sense, a view that is expressed. And as Yeshua was trying to display, where those prophecies are important, there is value in, you might consider, living them out if it is your role to do so. So I would say that prophecy has a role, and I believe that some of the things that I foretold have in fact helped shape the way that some events have unfolded since my time. As I said earlier, they have helped people to understand a little more the nature of the spiritual journey, the nature of who and what they are, and the unfolding of the events of this time. So prophecy has helped in that way, arising from some of my work. But I certainly would not claim that everything that I, you might consider, foretold will necessarily come to pass. And that is not by definition a bad thing, because you must remember that humanity always has free will, albeit within a context, and that context will be played out, but within that context, the free will of individuals can mean that certain things which are prophesied will not unfold. I don't wish to go into this any further than what I've expressed here.
Thank you. I'm back on board.
Welcome. You seem to be developing a habit of falling off the end of the line.
I know. I can't walk a straight line today. What is it?
So it would seem.
Okay.
Welcome back.
Lou is back. Thank you, dear. Lou is back on line two with another question. Lou, your question.
Hi again. I appreciate you taking my call again. I know this is a big question, but since we're talking about prophecy in the Bible, I used to be a lector in my Catholic church, so I was involved with it. And since I had my awakening, it's obviously created quite a dilemma. And I'm just wondering if Mr. Casey can maybe shed some light on how to reconcile this very big change, enlightenment of the fact that, you know, Jesus is, or Yeshua is who he was and was very different, played a different role and had a different character than what the Catholic Church has been portraying. And I don't think I think the Church has served some good, although it has served other agendas as well. So I'm just trying to get an idea if he can offer some kind of suggestions on how to reconcile this without abandoning it completely.
Abandoning what, dear? Your membership with the church? Is that it?
No, I think for any Catholic in the world, or Christian of any kind, how to not abandon the faith just because the message is not exactly the way the church has been portraying it and been presenting it. I mean, Yeshua was not the Son of God. He didn't die on the cross for our sins. I mean, so this is what the religion is predicated on. So people are going to have difficulty with this reality that this wasn't, you know, we don't have this middleman between us and our Creator. And, you know, how does he think that that society and humanity can reconcile this?
Richard, do you have enough information on this, or
yes.
Should we rephrase it? Okay.
No.
I'm sorry. I said it was a big question.
The primary issue is that the Christian church is built upon a lie. And you can't get away from that truth. And you may know I was a Sunday school teacher in my time. And so I, too, was inside this picture, but I didn't understand it. And it is true that there are many good and well-meaning people that are, you might consider, living inside of this lie and contributing well to others and to also finding a sense of truth for themselves, a sense of purpose, you might consider. But it's important to understand that that belief system is based on a lie, and it is a shock. And indeed, if you scratch the surface of Christianity, you'll find underneath it, just as you will under the Judaic religion in particular, you will find threads of satanic base. And this is not well understood either. You see, this is an illusion. Indeed, all religion is an illusion, which is involving placing a structure between the individual and their creator. And those who move forward will be faced with understanding that the true nature of an individual is spiritual rather than religious, and the two are different. And really, religion in general is a distortion of that fundamental spiritual nature, which is that there is no one who needs to place themselves or exist between you and your creator. Your body is the only temple that you need. And the more you open up the sense of yourself, that you are indeed an aspect of the one that created you, and that creation was undertaken in love for the most part of creation, then that understanding will simply flow forth. And there is no need for a structure of that nature. Indeed, when every individual understands that the only temple they need is the temple of their physical body, then they need go nowhere to have a true sense of, you might say, identification, a true sense of themselves, so that they stand as individuals and come together for particular purposes whenever they need to, whether it be in a familial context or whether it be in some kind of project or organization of some sort. It then is individuals coming and lending their abilities, their power, their sovereignty, you might say, to that organization for a particular purpose. But they don't give themselves away, you might say. They don't subjugate themselves to that organization, which is what happens today, because people don't have enough of a sense of themselves. And yes, people are going to be faced with a shock. You cannot preserve this lie, Lou, and that you need to understand. And people inside all religions will need to understand this if they are going to go forward, and it will be a shock. And that is the reality of the time in which you find yourselves. You cannot protect beliefs that are based on a lie and hope that they will go forwards. It simply doesn't work that way. I know I'm being fairly blunt, but you need to understand that the things you are trying to preserve are not preservable.
I would like to thank Mr. Casey for being here, for answering the questions of the callers, and for giving us all of this wonderful information. And you also, Richard, for bringing it forth, because without you, we could not have done this.
Carolyn, I think we have a couple of other callers. I don't know if you can see them on your screen.
Yeah, I see them now, but we're coming close to the end of our
program. Okay. We can take another couple, I think. James has been trying to get on forever and a day. Let's see what he wants.
Okay. I follow you.
Line one, James. I hear lots of banging and crashing, but no James. Are you there, James?
Hello.
James Oliver.
Hello.
We hear you, James. Give us your question, please.
Okay. I wonder, I appreciate everything that you people do, and to talk to Mr. Casey is amazing. And my question is, I want to know, understand or know if my life's purpose is being fulfilled the way it should be.
I think that's a question that everybody has.
James, it is a complex question to, in a sense, answer on the fly. But what I would say is to give you an answer that really does apply to everyone, and that is that you should learn to follow your inner guidance. And where that leads you, by definition, will be a fulfillment of what you are here to do. Because if you begin to follow that inner guidance, then if you start to wander off track, that inner guidance will, you might consider, dong you over the head and point you where you need to go. It is very powerful if people learn to listen to it. I'm not saying you are not listening to it today, but I'm giving a broad answer that is relevant to everyone. You see, everyone has this inner guidance, but in the way that life is structured today, you are encouraged to ignore it. You are encouraged to listen to your left brain, to plan life, and so on. But the key is to follow your inner guidance. And I would say to you, sir, that if you are here listening to this radio show as you are, then there is a good chance that you are on track.
Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
That reminds me of the right brain magic that you work with, Richard.
Yes.
Why don't you mention that for a second?
For sure. If people are interested in learning to do the kind of things that I'm doing here with Edgar Cayce, because anyone can do this. People think they can't do it, but you can. And you can communicate with any form of consciousness. It's just very simple. You just need to understand how to do it and practice it. And so I give you an introduction to the process in what we call a Right Brain Magic session. And you can just go to rightbrainmagic.com and you can order a session with me. We'll spend some time together and get you started.
And I have to tell everybody that Richard truly is a master in this. You will gain much from a telephone call with him on that subject.
Thank you, Carolyn.
You're welcome.
And so just quickly, Rick, on line three, and that'll be it.
Okay. Line three. Rick, what can we help you with?
Good evening, Carolyn, Richard, and Mr. Casey. I'm a member of the ARE, his organization he began. I've been with it about 5 years. And I got a personal question. I feel intense external head pressure multiple times every day, and I have to close my eyes and relax for 20 to 30 minutes, almost like a meditation. At this point, I see like a violet vortex of light in my third eye. It comes in waves, and after about three or four sets of waves, I feel fantastic, and I'm good to go. This month actually marks the fourth year I've had to go through this process or endure it or whatever you want to call it. But I was curious if you can explain this process I'm going through and why I'm going through this process.
As you may know, there is energy work being done by, in particular, many of the cherubim to prepare for this time. And you, sir, are processing a special energy that you need to process in your awake state rather than your sleep state. And so you are doing an important piece of work in this head pressure experience you have. Now, part of this head pressure is related to the activation of the kundalini energies in your body. And when you go into this meditative state, you in a sense free up the connection with the energies that are being sent to you, connecting through your body to the center of the earth, and you are allowing this process to flow. So it is a gift you are giving to the earth, my friend, and accept your role.
That's beautiful.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you could go to sleep tonight and know that you got some really good information here.
Amen. Amen.
Really, really. Richard, we have a few moments. I'd like to thank you in a special way and Edgar Casey in a special way for being here and working with us for the sake of our listeners. And there's a couple things I did want to talk to you about, Richard, and one of them was this call that we have coming up with Yeshua in the Book of Love. Would you like
yes.
to comment on that?
Yes. Carolyn brought forth a little book called The Book of Love from Yeshua. Maybe 3 months or so ago, he came knocking on her door and asked if she would be willing to bring this forth. And its essence is connected to the Book of Love that was treasured by the Cathars, which was originally brought forth from Yeshua. And so we brought that forth, and a lot of people have found tremendous value in its contents. It's very brief and very direct, you might describe it as. And maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, he came back and knocked on Carolyn's door again. Not that that's unusual, because it probably happens most days. But in this particular instance, he said that he wanted to set up a conference call to discuss the contents of the Book of Love and perhaps add a little to what was contained therein. So we've set up that conference call. It'll be on the 24th of this month, I believe it is. And if you haven't subscribed for that and you're interested in doing so, I think tomorrow there will be another email that goes out if you're on our list in relation to that. And if it is something that you feel may be of interest to some of your friends, I encourage you to share that email with them so they can participate also.
Yeah, I think that is going to be a wonderful group information event. I look forward to it, as I'm sure you do, Richard.
Mm.
And we have a few minutes left for the show, very few. And maybe what we could discuss is the Templar video.
By all means. Yes, just briefly, beginning in 2010 and then in 2011, Carolyn and I brought forth a series of messages from the Knights Templar. And again, that began by one of them or a group of them coming and making themselves known to Carolyn and letting her know that they wanted to give us a series of messages. And so we took those messages over about a year and a half, I guess, which explained a little of who the Templars were and the work that they did in various forms, including building the Gothic cathedrals in Europe. And in the case of seven of them, the purpose of those being to work with the various chakra points to open up the energy system of the body, you might say, and heal it and cleanse it so that anyone who walked that path at the time with sufficient focus could actually ascend at Roslyn Chapel in Scotland. And certainly some of the Templars themselves did do that. So it's very interesting material, and it's available on our website that's set up for that purpose. I think it's called The True Stories of the Templar Knights, but what I will do is include a link to it in the email I send out after this show.
That's wonderful, Richard. And I'd like to again thank Mr. Casey and you for all that wonderful information. We've come to the end of the show, and it's time for us to leave.
Indeed. Well, thank you, Carolyn, for all of your wonderful work, and it was nice of you to come back and join us after you disappeared.
Really? Goodbye for now until next week.
Bye for now.